certain the phrasing in the Rambam, the last section of the Rambam in Halacha Beis, where he talks about the fact that all we really need is that there should be a warning, and we don't really care who provides the warning. It doesn't seem that there's any qualifications involved. It doesn't have to be done by the witness. It doesn't have to be done by someone who could be a witness. It could be by a woman. It could be anybody. So let me ask you a question. What if it's a Gentile? A Gentile happens to be there and knows the halacha. It could be a Noahide, somebody who keeps the seven Noahide laws and is familiar with Torah ruling in this situation. And the guy provides the warning. What would you say to that?
Should be good.
Yeah, why would you say that it requires a Jew?
Now,
the Eved that he mentions, I feel Isha O Eved. I'm looking, an Eved would be an Eved Kenai. He's not talking about an Eved Ivri. It's obvious, because an Eved Ivri is a Jew. For all purposes. He doesn't lose his status in any way. But an Eved Kenani has a similar status to a woman in terms of the requirement of mitzvahs. An Eved Kenani is a Gentile who a Jew has acquired as an Eved, and the person had Mila and Tefillah. He's obligated to give him circumcision, and Tefillah goes in the mikvah. And this change, it effectuates a change in his status. It's sort of a transitional status between being a Gentile and between being a Jew. Because he's chayav mitzvos. He becomes chayav mitzvos. Which mitzvos? All mitzvos except mitzvos that say she's my grandma. His status is basically the same, as that of a woman. Whatever mitzvos a woman is obligated to keep, an eved is obligated to keep. Whatever mitzvos a woman is exempt from, an eved is exempt from. So this person is sort of in between. And the halacha is that if the master frees him, I said he's not supposed to free him. He's not supposed to, but if he does free him, it takes effect. He's freed, and he's automatically Jewish. If he frees him, he's automatically Jewish, does not have to have conversion. Chassam then mentions that even an Eved, who doesn't have the status of being a Jew. Now, of course, the question would be, what about a Gentile? Now, in my opinion at this point, just an opinion, requires further research, would be that it shouldn't matter. It seems that's what the Rambam is telling you, that as long as there was a Hasra. The only thing is that one may argue and say, well, if that's the case, if that's the Afilo, if that is true, when the Rambam is to say Afilo means he's telling you the Chidushim, those cases that you would not have thought, you might have thought would not qualify, so why didn't he tell you the bigger Chidush? The bigger Chidush would have been even a guy. So you can make an argument and say that the Rambam only went so far as to say even an Eved, but did not go further and say even a guy, a Gentile who doesn't have any status, because an Eved is on a higher status. He's on the status where he's chayav in mitzvahs. It's ironic. Okay. Just wanted to make that point.
I flipped it.
Sorry?
I just flipped it.
It seems a little bit complicated, because at the end, the Rambam is saying, is that you don't even need an external masra, somebody else warning him, that he can warn himself. And in the case where there is an external person warning him, that itself is not the fact. That's not enough. It's his own acknowledgement. So essentially what the witnesses have to testify is that this individual acknowledged that he's doing it on the condition, with the full knowledge, that it's prohibited in the Torah. In spite of that, he's doing it. So if that's the case, why does the Rambam have to go through all the other cases that this one could be a masra, a woman could be a masra, an eved could be a masra, and so on and so forth, when that doesn't seem to be even significant? The main thing is that he warned himself. That's what once I know that you don't even need a masra, that he warns himself, and that's the essential testimony. The eidim have to testify. And I'm even raising the question, let's say there was an external masra, and the eidim didn't hear that, or didn't hear it clearly, but they heard his own acknowledgement that he's doing it on that condition. Would that be sufficient in such a case? Would that be sufficient, or would that be not considered to be a adequate hasra, and he would go free? That's the question that I'm posing. Is that stronger? To make it stronger, the Rambam said that he he has to be mater atzmo, he has to warn himself, so to speak. Now, every case of warning involves the yater atzmo. It's not enough if somebody else warned him. He has to then affirm the fact that he's doing it with the knowledge that it's prohibited. He has to be mater atzmo. So the essence of what incriminates him is the fact that he warned himself. He was master himself. So if that's the case, what do I need to talk about other people? What's the difference? They're irrelevant. What's relevant and what's effective is the fact that the witnesses testify that he was matir himself. That he was master himself. I see that every case where the other person warns him is not sufficient. He's got to then affirm. So he's got to warn himself. And we see that even in the absence of another person, if he warns himself, it's considered to be a warning. So if that's the case, then what's the point of going through the issue that somebody else can, who this other person can be, a woman can be, this one, but it's not the point. Because you've established the fact that we don't even need that person. If we don't even need that person, and indeed when that person is there, it's not their warning that incriminates him, it's his own self-warning, so to speak. So then it's just superfluous. External warning, it's of no consequence unless he warned himself. And his warning himself, in the last point is that his warning himself is sufficient, absent an external masra, to incriminate him. So that establishes the idea, in my mind, that you don't need an external person. If you don't need an external person, so then why is the Rambam going into the halachos of who can qualify? You don't even need the person in the first place.
The answer to this question is that we're making a mistake. When we say that he affirms, when somebody else warns him, and he has to affirm, when he says, I'm not asking, and with full knowledge that this is the fact, in spite of that, I'm doing it, that's not a chefta shel asra. That is not a chefta shel asra. That doesn't, that is, from that I could not deduce that he could be master himself. I might have thought that by definition a warning is something which comes from one person to another person. That's why the Rambam had to tell us that it's a big chiddush. That even if there was no external party, because that's the idea of a warning, you can't warn yourself. You can't warn yourself. The idea of a warning is that one person is on the verge of doing something, and there's somebody else who looks at the situation differently. The person that's doing the act, that person is in the framework of whether they'll decide to do it or whether they won't decide to do it. But it's hard to imagine that it makes sense, it's logical sense that I warn myself. That means you're just going up and back, and you know, you're struggling. You have an issue over here of what to do. Should I overpower my emotion, or should I listen to my emotion? Whatever the case, you're involved in some kind of a struggle. But you can't say, I didn't do it, I warned myself, and after that warning, I decided not to do it. Even if you should say that, it's just a mental device you're playing with. You know, nobody warned you. That's something that's going on in your own mind. But if somebody else comes along, another individual who's objective, who's outside of you, separate from you, that person is the warner. You'd think that's a warning. I can only consider it a warning, an authority. In this case, anybody could be an authority. Perhaps that's the issue. Who could be defined as a warner? Does the person have to be? Does it have to be a police officer? I mean, well, you could have thought that way. That's theoretically possible. Who warned you? I was a kid. That kid is not a warner, because who listens to a kid? You might have thought that. You see? And maybe it's, I can't go into the reasons of why the person has to accept it. It could very well be that that's a factor, though. I'm not posing a reason as to why that's not enough. But you can see, though, that it has that effect. Because let's say it was a child that warned him. You can say that's not considered to be a good warning, because who listens to a child? He's not going to take it seriously. As opposed to you might think only rabbis can function as a warner, or only police officers, because they represent the law. That's serious. So when they warn, a person takes it seriously. Now, all of those issues are resolved by the fact that the criminal has to enunciate Amanaskin and Iosa. Once he does that, so that shows that he did. He did take it as a warning, he absorbed it, he listened to it, and he's doing it in spite of that. So that also helps to confirm that which he heard then becomes a warning. Then it becomes a warning because he's accepted it. What if he didn't listen to it? What if he disparaged it? It's ridiculous. That could very well be the reason. I don't want to present it that way. But it helps us to understand it. But you see from that, that the statement that in spite of that I'm doing it, that's not the Asra. The Asra comes from the other individual. There is, you see, what emerges from this is that there is an objective entity of Asra. There's, so to speak, a Chafsish al Asra. In order to ascertain, to make this distinction between Shogig and Mezid, it has to come about via the phenomena, the halachic phenomenon of Hasra. And Hasra has its qualifications. What constitutes a Hasra? So the Hasra is the expression of the idea that you should not do this because it's prohibited by the Torah and because it will incur the death penalty. Those are the constituent elements of the Hasra. So then the question is, who? Who can serve as a masra? So the Rambam says it could be anyone. It doesn't have to be a witness, because you might say it's a witness. Or it could be the, it could be an Eved, it could be an Isha, and so forth. But, in all of these cases, it does not serve as a hasra, unless it is confirmed by the individual. He has to confirm it. Once he confirms it, then we could say that he had a hasra. Now the question arises, what about the individual himself? The very question establishes the fact that there's a cheftish al hasra, that there is an entity of hasra. Because if you're going to talk purely in terms of lahafkin bein shogeg, purely in practical terms, so then if this was just a practical issue, that's all we were concerned about, not a halachic issue, so then what would you say if the person warned himself? If the person made a little speech right before he did the action, saying he understands, I want everybody to know, I understand that this is prohibited, I understand the carries the death penalty, but nevertheless I'm going to do it, and then he does it. So and we've established that you need hasra purely to separate between Shogeg and Mezid. What would you have said? He said, of course it's okay. It's fulfilled its purpose. We didn't ask that question. But you could ask that question. Well, what kind of a feeler is this? If the entire purpose is simplistically understood as any kind of mechanism to establish that he knows that it's prohibited. Well, it would raise many questions. It could be that that morning he gave a shiur on the subject to his students, and then that afternoon he committed the other. And we're not going to assume that he lost his mind in between time. But you see that that this has to be established in a purely halachic way, and there's a phenomenon of hasra. So then, if that's the case, that you have to have a formal hasra, Bezdin can only operate in terms of a formal hasra, and it can't make its own estimate of whether he knew or didn't know. So then, the question arises, does this constitute Hasra? Because here, the person is warning himself. So the question therefore arises, whether the Gavra Shel Masra is essential, or no, it's just a Chafta. There's a Chafta Shel Hasra, and the Chafta Shel Hasra is an enunciation of the basic principles that the Masra would give. So you can have Hasra come about in two ways. One is that the chefta is formulated by another individual, and the gavra is makabal the asra. He's makabal the asra. That's in the first case, but he's not masra. He's not yater atzma. See, that was the point that I was making. That was the confusion. If you look back to the question that I raised, you'll see that that's. But when I raised the question, I created the impression that when he accepts somebody else's asra, that's equivalent that he's mater atzma. You see, that's where the confusion arose. I mean, I based my question on that premise. That was false. The premise of my question, if you look back now to this give and take, the development over here, when I said that once we know that he can be master himself, and we know that in any other case he has to be master himself, see, there was a little deception over there. Because I was creating the impression that when he accepts somebody else's asra, That's tantamount to being Masri himself. That's the confusion, you see? Once you accepted that, if you accepted that premise, then the whole Rambam didn't make sense. But now we're saying differently, that accepting somebody else's Hasra is not the same thing as being Masri himself. That's why after the Rambam said that, he went on to say that even he can be Masri himself. Because when you accept somebody else's Hasra, the other guy is the Masri. The other person is the Masri. So, and he creates the Ches to Shem Hasra. Except that he can't be considered a Musra, a warned person, be qualified as a Musra, unless he acknowledges it and accepts it. But he's not Masra himself, because the other person is being Masra him. His acceptance and his acknowledgement simply is essential for us to conclude that he was a Musra. So there's two issues involved. One is the Chef to Shel Asra, and one is the process by which he becomes a Musra. So now the question is, well, what about, can he be Masra himself? Can the person who's doing the crime be the one who warned them not to do it? That would seem to be two different people, two different parties. Because you have a gavra who's a warner, and then the person who's being warned. They can't be the two people at the same time. So therefore the Rambam says that even he can warn himself. Because apparently it is not the gavra. You don't need another gavra to be a masra, but it's the chef to show us raw. And of course, so you have two things. You have the chef to show us raw, and then you have his kabbalah of the asra. So this is interesting. To get to the question we raised before, I asked you this question, that let's say there was somebody else warning, and the Edom can't really testify, they didn't hear it very clearly, but they heard him say, they heard him accept it. So what would be the halacha now?
There's no chafza that was confirmed.
Yeah. See, originally you felt that would be okay, that he'd be chayav. Because why? Because you were assuming that when he says Amanaskein, that's he's being masra himself.
Yeah.
But he's not being masra himself. In a case that the Bezdin will ask, was there Hasra? Well, how so? Did it come via somebody else? Or did it come from the individual? If it came via somebody else, and they have to testify that they heard the Hasra, then we ask them, did he accept it? Did he say Amanaskein? Both of those elements must be present in that case. In the case where they'll say no, there was no external Hasra. So then the question is, was he Masra himself? Then they testify, yes, we heard. And then what did he say? He can't say something vague or general. It's got to be because he's creating the Ches to Shel Asra by himself. And by the mere fact that he says he's doing it on that condition, so that's Kabbalah. Obviously, that's Kabbalah's Hasra. So it's the Ches to Shel Asra which renders the Gavra, if he accepts it upon himself, as a Musra. So it becomes a halachic phenomenon that the death penalty cannot be meted out to someone unless he committed the action in a state which we define as being a Musra. Thing raised over here that in the description of the Hasra, the Rambam says that the Masra has to say Parosh Altasa. He has to warn him not to do it, as we understand in simple parlance, and a warning. First thing is don't do it. Then you go into the gravity of the situation. Leading to the question, when he warns himself, does he have to say the same thing to himself? I'm warning you, don't do it. That sounds a little difficult. I mean, it's like a schizophrenic, like he's talking to himself. Is that how it has to be?
Ready?
I'm not sure if we can deduce what the answer would be just by the words of the Rambam. That I think it's fair to say that in the case where he warns himself, the Rambam does not give us the text of what he says. But logic would dictate, it's not that he doesn't start off by saying Parosh Altasa, because it doesn't make any sense. It's something that he doesn't even mean. He means to do it. But what he would have to do is to announce publicly that he knows that it's Avera, he knows it gets the death penalty, and he's inspired that he's doing it. That would seem to be the essence of the Asra. Now the question is, what about when other people are Masrim? So the Rambam says, how do you do the Asra? Ketzad. Ketzad Masrim Bo. How do we warn him? It would appear from this, by the way, that a person should be familiar with Asra.
Because it would seem, it presupposes that a person has an obligation to warn somebody. If a person is in a situation like that, where you're witnessing a crime about to happen, so you have a chiyuv. What's your chiyuv? Your chiyuv is to be masra. So that's why it says, case ad masra. How do we do it? Presupposes that there is a pre-existing obligation. So therefore the Rambam starts off by saying that you're supposed to say parosh al tasa. You will stop. And then you explain the reason. The question that I'm asking is, let's say the person didn't say parosh al tasa. He went right, he said, this is an aveir and yichayev nisal. And the other person said, almanas kein ani yoseh. Would that be considered a good hasra? It's difficult to resolve that. Because one could say that even if they omitted parosh al tasa, but the essence of the asra is to let the person know that it's an aveira and that yichayev nisal. And if he accepted that, now that's sufficient in his own case. When he warns himself, he enunciates that it's an aveira and it carries a death penalty, and he's going to do it anyways on that condition, with that understanding. So it would seem logical to say that if somebody else is warning him, that even though Kate said masrin, that he's supposed to say parosh al tasa, but if he just said that it's an aveira and yichayev nisal for it, and the other person said almanaskin, and the also logic would seem to indicate that that's the same thing, that's equal to the situation when he himself, when he warns himself. But I can't say for sure. I don't have enough information just in the Rambam here, factual information, to come to a conclusion. I'm just saying it appears logical. Okay? It's difficult for me to imagine that the first part, parosh al tasa, the deterring effect, the warning not to do it, it's difficult for me to imagine that that is essential to the hasra. Because if you're going to say that that's essential to the hasra, so it's very difficult to imagine. How does he have a self-warning? How can he warn himself? There's no detail. He doesn't warn himself. It's just saying words. It doesn't mean it. So if you're going to say that he has to be makabel, that's part of what he has to be makabel as well. The warning. The parosh al tasa. So that would rule out the idea of a self-hasra, by definition. So once we've established that he can warn himself, and if we are correct in saying that the warning of himself does not include the parosh al tasa part, so you're saying that the essence of hasra is the acknowledgement by the individual right before he does it, that he knows that what he's doing carries the death penalty. Therefore, we can interpret the Rambam to be saying that how are you masra? That hasra, proper hasra, bishlei musa, in its fullest sense, should include the parosh al tasa. But if for whatever reason the other person didn't say parosh al tasa and went straight to the substance that it's an aveir and carries a death penalty, and he accepted it, it seems that it's sufficient that he's a musra on that basis.